Okay, we've got a couple hours of open lines here for you, including the topic, have you done a deal with the devil to get something done? It sounds like Dr. Faustus, doesn't it? We will. Hey, before we get going, Tommy and I have a little announcement, and we want to give the condolences to the family of a friend of ours who has passed away. I want to tell you about an individual. His name was George Poulos, a Greek guy. And a good one. Hollywood actor, did some small parts. But I met him 13, 14 years ago as he was a manager of the Great Greek Restaurant out here in Los Angeles. Just a delightful guy and a place I would go to a lot. Just a wonderful individual. He loved life. George just passed away a few days ago fighting throat cancer. We didn't know he had cancer when he came and visited us in June at Contact in the Desert out there in Joshua Tree. He braved the heat, and oh, was it hot. And he was wearing this big hat, and I heard this voice. I'm on the stage, right, with this panel, but I heard this voice. George! George! I looked down, and there he was, George Poulos. He would listen to Coast to Coast almost every night when he left his Great Greek Restaurant. And he used to listen, and when I would go in there, he would say, you know what, you're quite the Kennedy buff, aren't you? You've done some great shows about that. I've got something for you the next time you're here. And I said, well, what is it? He says, I'll just give it to you. So I, you know, went into the restaurant, and George was there, and he had a little envelope. He pulled out a picture, an authentic picture of Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald. And Ike Pappas, the former CBS newsman, was in that picture. Ike had autographed that picture and gave it to George. And he said, here, kid, take it. George Poulos was one of those few individuals who just cared about other people, and now he's gone. His remains will be flown to Chicago. His family apparently will cremate him, and our condolences to all of them. A great man has left us. And welcome back to Coast, open lines, also the topic, in addition to what you want to talk about. Have you done a deal with the devil? Hey, about a week ago, I got an email from a fellow by the name of Ryan Zekrul. And Ryan, of course, is a paranormal investigator. He's a filmmaker of a web series called Paranormal Quest. And I got this email, and I read it, and I went, this is unbelievable. So I handed it over to Tom. I said, Tom, get Ryan on for just a little bit. And we have Ryan with us right now. Ryan, what a story. I want you to tell us all about it.
Hey, thank you, George. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Well, this email you sent really was heart-wrenching, but what a great ending. Go ahead.
Yes, it was. It's a very, very touching story. What's interesting is it also includes the paranormal, so it kind of deals with the topic of the night. But we received an email through the Paranormal Quest Facebook page, and it was from a man named Russ Stone. And Russ Stone basically outlined that he had watched our web series, and that he became very interested in the paranormal for a very specific reason, and that reason was that he was diagnosed with a terminal illness.
Oh, geez.
He is a fairly young man of only 41 years old. At the time when he messaged us, he was only 40. And he outlined that he had a very young family, a 4-year-old daughter, and a very young wife that he loved very much, you know, a very young family. But he said he became interested in the paranormal whenever his daughter asked him if she'd still be able to see him after he was gone.
Oh,
and
my
that coming
God.
From a 4-year-old girl was just,
heartbreaking.
To him and to us, gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
So he asked if he could come on an investigation with us. And, of course, knowing this story, seeing the pictures that he sent to us of his family, we couldn't turn him down. So we decided we were going to bring him on an investigation of the West Virginia Penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia, which that being one of the most haunted areas, locations in the country, we knew that that'd be a great place for him to capture paranormal evidence. Now, I believe that moving on to the paranormal evidence part of this, I believe that he was a big catalyst for paranormal activity. which he eventually did get that proof that he was looking for, partially because he of course had that terminal disease, which many people believe that having a terminal disease or being close to death, you can see or experience the paranormal in a way that those
you're more tuned in, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. You are very tuned in. But also, he was almost a trigger object in a way, meaning he could associate with the spirits themselves because he had had a very troubled past and he was incarcerated earlier in his life. That's something that he's not proud of, but he does actually lecture to at-risk youth. So he's definitely turned his life around, and it was just terrible that he had experienced this terminal illness, possibly terminal illness, but it came out that after a certain medication came out of the trial portion, that he was actually could be able to get this medication and have him be cured. And we decided whenever he came on this investigation that we were going to make a fundraising video for him just to tell his story, and that's why I wanted to come on tonight to tell his story, because he is a wonderful man. He, as soon as we met him, he was absolutely the warmest, most loving individual that you could ever meet. So he came on the investigation. We captured lots of evidence, and we made that fundraising video for him. And luckily, through that fundraising video, we were able to reach someone, who they wished to remain anonymous. But we reached someone who was able to actually take that full bill for his medication and pay that.
How much was the bill, if I can ask, Ryan?
It was, get ready for this, $180,000.
Some individual picked up the entire tab?
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's
amazing.
I
received a voicemail from him 7 months after the investigation, and he had called me early in the morning, so I wasn't awake, and I woke up to that voicemail, and when I woke up, it was I just wept tears.
You found an angel, a real angel.
So he did, and I know that this person, individual, wishes to remain anonymous, but if they are listening, I want to say thank you to them.
And how is Russ doing now, Ryan?
Russ is responding very well to the treatment. He's working through it one day at a time. Through his doctor's appointments, they have said that he is responding well, and there's no way to know if it's going to fully work until the last month. There's 3 months total of the treatment, but there's no way to know for sure if he is cured until after that.
Well, we'll say a prayer. And for people who want to watch Paranormal Quest and what you do, how do they find you?
You can go on YouTube and just search Paranormal Quest, or type into the URL bar, youtube.com/ParanormalQuestDRS.
Super. Ryan, great job. Great job.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, too. Isn't that amazing? One individual hears about the story and covers the bill, $180,000. Wow. Let's go to D.C. in the Bronx. Welcome to the program, D.C. Get us started. Hi, D.C. These people are disappearing on us. Where are they going? Let's go to Joe in Arizona, though. Hey, Joe, it's your turn.
Hi, George. Glad I got in. Thanks
Super.
For my call.
Are you the same Joe who was on hold last hour?
Yeah.
I've been my God.
While.
Okay.
But what I have to say is super important. I mean, I can't overemphasize how important this is. There are spirals of less gravity than the normal on the surface of the Earth that, when they are investigated, will go on to tell why many of the ancient monuments were built, including the pyramids.
Well, really? Tell me a little more about this.
The two that I'm sure of, the most sure of, are at Giza Plateau in Egypt and also in Florida. Now, the one in Giza Plateau in Egypt goes directly over the three main peaks of the three main pyramids there in that area, and the lesser gravity than normal actually caused the area to become a plateau. Now, over in Florida, the one there begins at Corkscrew Marsh, this spiral formed Corkscrew Marsh. And for people that don't know what a Fibonacci Golden Mean Spiral looks like, it's like a conch shell. And as the spiral grows, it goes right over Coral Castle, and it goes right over the Florida Keys, which it actually formed because of its less gravity than normal, causing those islands to rise up to become islands. Now, where do they originate from? Each planet has lesser gravity at its equator than the rest of the body because of the spin of the, you know, centrifugal force.
Sure, right.
And what happens with that is that it causes a weakness in what Einstein called the fabric of space. It is this weakness that actually gets transmitted out, and it's not it gets transmitted out to all planets from each other.
How did the ancients, Joe? How did the ancients know where to build these?
Oh golly, they were so intelligent, far beyond what we have. But they thought in different terms, in different ways than we do. I'll give you a couple of instances as we go along. But what happens is these spirals land in continuously in the same place because the higher orders of energy in the 22 dimensions of string theory see all movement here and take it into account. That's why they always land in the same place. Now, if you trace these lines out, you come to some very interesting places. Over in Giza, when you trace that line out, you go across eventually the northern coast of Egypt, and then you go across Sinai, where St. Catherine's Monastery is, perhaps, and that's where Moses went up for the second time, actually, to get the law. And it goes over that little mountain in northwest Saudi Arabia, where he actually went up, I think, the first time to get the law. It's right across the Red Sea, and it bears all the markings mentioned in the Book of Exodus for the mount where he went up.
How did you stumble into all this?
Oh, it's a long story.
Well, I don't have that kind of time. You'll have to tell me later.
I know. I know you don't have the time. I wanted to mention, because of the time constraints, I wanted to mention my blog, which is the Once and Future Osiris.blogspot.com.
All right, that's easy enough. Super. I'm always a little leery, Joe, when somebody says, I have a long story, but that's fascinating. Tom, we have texts and tweets. What do you have for us, Ben?
We do, and I thought because tomorrow's October 1st, I thought this was apropos. It's a tweet from Shine
October
Bright.
October 1st already.
I know.
Wow.
This is a tweet from Shine Bright. Hey, George and Tom, what will you guys dress up for as Halloween this year?
Halloween will be a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I will be here.
Are you gonna dress
I am
up?
Not dressing up. I don't have time on a Monday. That's why I think Halloween should always be the last Friday of October. I'm going to petition someone to get that done.
When's the last time you dressed up for Halloween?
Last year, I think I was in St. Louis, and I dressed up like Morgus.
Really?
Yeah. I went out as Morgus for a little bit.
That's great.
But then I had to go to the cave to do the show at night. But I'm serious. Halloween feels like
a weekend.
A weekend of it.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, in a week or two, we'll do a few open lines about that. Who would we petition to get that date changed?
Someone probably in the federal government.
Halloween could always be the 31st legally. But, I mean, it's not a federal holiday or anything like that. You don't get off work. But, I mean, we can always just practice it and do it on a Friday night.
Let's ask the new president.
It's better for the kids. They don't have school the next morning. I'm serious.
Which candidate do you think would be more likely to do that for us?
None of them.
Yep, I think so.
Thank you, Thomas. Let's go to Mike in Livermore, California. My, oh my, I thought you had passed on.
Hello there, George.
Hello, Michael.
How are you doing?
Good. Have you moved? You're still where you are? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm still in Livermore. It's a slow process.
Still an Oakland Raiders fan, no doubt, right?
Oh, definitely. Made the home opener. Almost passed out. It was so darn hot. But, yeah, I think the team, they're going to be fairly good this year. We'll see.
We'll see.
They look good.
My St. Louis Rams, who now live in Los Angeles, we'll see.
Yep, they're gone. But your baseball team's still in the hunt for the wild card.
My Tigers? Oh, yep.
No.
Oh, well, the Cardinals?
Your second one. Yeah, the Cardinals.
First team's always Detroit. It's a boy thing. You know that.
Oh, I know that. I know that. But I just remember the bet was on the St. Louis game.
Yes. Yeah, you would remember that.
Of course I would. But, hey, I'm not even going to ask you who you're going to vote for.
Well, I don't vote for president. That's my that's my thing. I stay impartial. Now, I've gotten emails from people who say, you support Trump. Then I've gotten emails from people that say, you support Hillary. No, I don't support either one of them. I just want to give you the facts, and you make up your own mind. That's why I don't pick one. And
where are you registered, in California? Or?
No, I don't vote for president.
No, I mean just register to vote. Do you vote at all?
I don't. I stay in this. Walter Cronkite said once a long time ago, he does not vote, and he wants to remain impartial, unbiased, nonpartisan. And when I heard that as a young news guy, I went, I'm going to do that too.
I guess I can respect that. I mean, here in California, it really doesn't matter who I vote.
I mean, listen, there are a lot of talk show hosts who lean left, who lean right, and they will be very above board with you in terms of who they favor. And but to me, I would rather just lay the facts out there. And I will, since you have brought this up, I will say this right now. This is the worst presidential campaign I have ever seen. Hardly any of them are talking about pure issues anymore. Instead, all we hear about is Donald Trump's 2 a.m. tweets, his rants about that, Hillary's situation, infidelities about Bill Clinton. When are we going to protect this country and the people who live here and come up with some issues that are important to Americans and truly talk about what's going on here and make this a better country instead of all this other junk that the media is concentrating on? It's the worst mic I've ever seen.
Okay, George, I got a different take on it. It's more of the same, but just to an extreme. And I welcome this presidential campaign.
Why?
Because I think it's wonderful. Because I think it might wake up the public to the fact that this two-party system sucks. They're both the same. They're all out for the same thing. They get paid by the same people. It's all controlled. We're handed the same candidates. Come on, Clinton or Bush? That's the only people you can come up with?
You mean Trump?
Trump? No, the Republicans wanted Bush. They wanted Jeb Bush.
Oh, of course they did.
That's what I'm saying. So that's all they're presenting us. I love Donald Trump for the fact that he's just sticking both his fingers in the eye of the government and the president.
Yeah, but don't you think he's starting to act a little irrational?
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not supporting Donald Trump. Believe me, I'm right there with Jerry Garcia. Voting for the lesser of two evils, still vote for evil.
All right, my friend. We got to run, Mike. We're coming up to the break, but we're coming back in a moment with more open lines. That's what we're going to be doing for the rest of the night. And if you need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. And those of you who think I favor one over the other, you are wrong. No one. I'm right down the middle. Hey, I'm impressed nobody's made a deal with the devil yet, but if you have, check in with us during the open lines. It's now time for our shout-out to thank those of you who listen to Coast on our more than 615 radio stations across North America. That, of course, includes Canada. Thank you. And welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Monterey, California. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program. You're up with us.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, you guys are a refreshing neutral ground for this election, unlike the rest of the media. Well, I'm not kidding you. It's you got Stephen Colbert and all these late-night entertainment shows making their first monologue all to trash Trump. You've got all the major media talking heads trashing Trump. You've got the media finishing their cast with a little barb against Trump. Or they go to commercial. It's the most Big Brother media expose I've ever seen. And, you know, if it weren't for this factor, Trump would have put Hillary in the rearview mirror a long time ago. And I don't think Trump's perfect, okay? But I know something about Hillary that would put her away if Trump would bring it up.
He won't. He's got too much class for that.
Well, no, what Trump should say is this. Hillary, what were you and Bill Clinton doing in 1995 conducting a secret meeting in the White House with Stephen King when you know Nixon and Reagan let him kill John Lennon? What were you meeting with him for?
No,
the Alameda, I'm sorry, the Oakland Tribune.
Hold on. that you're off base on that one. Way off base on that one. That has nothing to do with the election, and he had nothing to do with that. Let's go to Daniel in Monroe, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Great.
Oh, good. Hey, I want to talk about Chupacabra.
The Chupacabra. Have you seen one?
No, I haven't seen one, but I noticed that the sightings that they had back in the 90s was different than what they have today.
Really? Tell me more.
Yeah, because I remember back, like, it was an old show. It was called Hard Copy.
Oh, yeah. Knew it well.
Sometime. Yeah, that was the first time I remember ever seeing something on the Chupacabra. But it was about 3 feet tall. It had a head like an alien gray. It had the big red eyes. It walked upright, and it had these glowing spikes on its back from its head all the way down to its tailbone.
Jeez, what a horrible-looking creature.
And some of them had wings.
Huh.
Yeah.
How tall was it?
It was about 3 feet tall.
3 feet.
Yep. But, now, I mean, you know, a canine, when they attack the prey, they'll bite down on the prey and it'll shake them to death. There's no canine on the planet that sucks the blood straight out of them. They rip the prey apart.
Well, the old chupacabras were just what they called what, the goat suckers?
Yeah, that's what it translates to.
Yeah.
The chupacabra translates to goat sucker.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying the new ones aren't doing just that.
It's a whole different thing, and it's not just that, but it's also, we went for all those years back in the 90s. Nobody could get a picture of a chupacabra or a video of a chupacabra.
No, no.
And then suddenly here it is, in somewhere in 2000 sometime, they get a video of some canine with mange.
Exactly. It looks like a hyena or something like that.
And it doesn't even fit the description.
No.
Like the description of the chupacabra of the 90s, it just went away.
I would love to see a picture of a real chupacabra.
I found them online. I do a Yahoo image search and type in chupacabra sketch.
Are they legit?
It's the one that's like the black and white sketch. It has the alien, the gray head, and has the, you know, the writing and the arrows going to the, you know, parts that they're talking about. That's the chupacabra that I remember in the 90s.
We got to get some pictures of that for sure. All right, another time for a text or a tweet, and we'll do it again twice next hour. Tom, what do we have?
George, is the black moon tonight?
Yes, it's tonight going into Saturday.
It must be affecting people because I'm pretty sure Stephen King is not, that's way off base.
I think he's squeaky clean on this one.
Yeah, I think so. This is a text from Daryl in Santa Fe Springs, California. George, what are your thoughts on Area 51?
Area 51, in my opinion, is a government installation, obviously, which they have finally admitted that is doing several things. One is aircraft of the future that we are creating and building, they're testing there. There's no doubt in my mind that's going on.
I agree.
The next question is, do they really have alien technology there? And if you believe all the stories that we have done over the years, you've got to believe that there's something else going on down there. Most of it underground, and it's very possible that something's happening. Now, are there ETs there, and are they communicating directly and working with us? That's a push, in my opinion.
I was just going to tell you, because he has a little thing in parentheses that says, do you think there's aliens down there?
I don't. Well, if there is, they're in a jar.
Yeah.
Okay?
They're not live.
They're
right?
Not live.
Yeah.
They're not live. They picked them up from Roswell or something like
that.
Be
neat if you could.
Yep.
They were.
Sure would. Okay, next up we go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. He's calling again. Hi, Barry.
Hello there, George. God Almighty. I apologize for being such a pest, but I just had to call back in tonight. And frequent caller, of course. And I got a good brown mountain light, but I've got to start real quick.
All right.
The guy last night, I swear he was so interesting, but he was so vulgar. You had to cut him off, And it was such a shame.
Oh, I loved the guy. He was a great guest. And then all of a sudden his mouth went. And see, I was getting emails from people who said, why'd you cut him off? I didn't hear anything bad. Of course not.
You got the button.
I've got the button.
That's it. Wait, is there about 15-second delay?
I'm not telling you.
All right. I won't have to count up before I finish.
I'm not telling. But it's unfortunate because he was warned several times. He's a great guy. I don't have anything against him. But when you're warned a couple times and you still continue to do it, I have no choice. I have to protect my affiliates. If that stuff gets out on the air, everybody's in trouble.
You don't have to use vulgar language to get the point across, and that's all there is to it. Now let's jump to Linda Moulton Howe. Great day. I'm so glad I got through to that woman. She is some kind of dynamo, George.
She really is. She's a hard worker.
Oh, Lord, she must work 18 hours a day, you heard me say.
Yeah.
I hope I did not hurt her feelings or embarrass her by saying she's a good-looking woman, because she is.
I think she probably welcomed the compliment.
Well, I hope so. I didn't want to embarrass her or the show, and I didn't know whether to do it, but
you haven't even said that about me as a guy, but that's okay.
Well, believe me, you're the best-looking guy I know.
A face for radio.
Yeah, really. Well, now listen. Here's a Brown Light story, a Brown Mountain Light story for you. Joshua P. Warren would welcome it. We're going to Asheville in a couple of weeks, and I'm gonna stop in there and tell him. My brother-in-law has been up there about 25 times. I've mentioned it to you once on the air, and I haven't told you the story, but he was up there about 3 weeks ago, and they camp out. They follow a stream down through this mountain valley, and they get fairly close. And one night about 15 years ago, George, they decided to get real close, and they got in there early, and they started a fire and cooked out. And then they about time it starts getting dark, they let the fire go out, you know, so they can see the lights. Well, sure enough, George, this night, he's, out of the 25 or 30 times, he's seen them about 5 times.
Wow.
Yep.
What do you think they are, Barry? What do you think they are?
I think they are real aliens that are here. George, I really believe, like I said last night, that we are Homo sapiens, the derivatives of Homo erectus and then Neanderthal and all.
Sure.
And there will be another species after us, and even smarter than us, I hope, and hopefully smart enough to get rid of these nuclear bombs and don't ever let them
exist. Well, I don't know if that's right. So you're going to be in Asheville in a couple of weeks?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go by the station of the theater.
Oh, you've got to, because I'm going to be there with our live stage event, and are you coming by to see me?
Well, wait a minute now, you just had it a month ago tonight.
No, I haven't even been there yet.
You've been to Asheville, I was there with you.
No, the show's coming up in 2 weeks, I've not been there yet.
What are you talking about, George? You introduced me, I was sitting in the front row center. You had Joshua P. Warren.
No, we haven't even had the show yet, Barry. It's coming up in 2 weeks. What do you mean I introduced you?
Boy, oh boy, I tell you what, I'm psychic or something.
maybe you dreamt it.
No, I don't even dream.
You've got tickets in the front row. Everybody's all excited about seeing you.
George, you've got to be kidding. We talked about possibility of Las Vegas, you know, next August, but
that
was on the air last night.
That was, sure, absolutely, but Asheville's in 2 weeks, so I'll see you there, right?
Yeah, Tommy's coming.
Tommy will be flying down, getting ready for the show.
All right, I'm not going to argue about that.
Let me ask you this, seeing that you have had this dream of my show, how did it go?
It went wonderful. As a matter of fact, when you introduced me, I said, all right, everybody, you're getting ready to hear 3 hours of the best show you've ever heard.
All right, I will do that. I'll introduce you at the show. We'll do it.
All right.
Just like your dream.
Yeah. I must have had a heck of a dream if it hadn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm looking forward to coming out there.
Okay, buddy, you asked Tom if he hadn't been there. You're the one that said the relapse of memory.
But no, ever me. I got a memory like an elephant, Barry.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you sure do, George.
All right,
That's one thing I love about you.
Be well.
Nobody can call in there and ask about a show that happened 10 years ago. And I'm a doggone if you don't remember something about it, and at least something about it. And most of the time, you remember the whole conversation.
That's exactly right. Okay, thanks, Barry. Appreciate it. By the way, I was pulling his leg. We had the Asheville show. He was there in the front row. I did bring him up on stage, but now he is so confused whether he was there or not. I'll just let him think about that. And now he'll go back to his radio any second, so I'm going to shut up. Let's go next to Rob in Vancouver, Canada. Welcome to the show on the international line. Hey, Robbie, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I was listening, and I was afraid that I was going to be the next caller after that. How am I going to live up to that?
Oh, boy.
Thanks for letting me be on. I've always had this itching in the back of my mind. I just wanted to postulate an idea out there.
Okay.
And then ask you maybe if you can direct me, towards maybe anyone who's talked about this. And I'll try to keep it concise. And what's always been bothering me is the idea that has science been kind of misdirected misdirected somewhere in the past. And I'm going to say around maybe the 30s or the 40s. And maybe this idea has been inspired by, Rupert Meldrock, Sheldrake.
You're right.
Yeah, the idea of the science delusion. And, you're looking at the idea of the notion that the speed of light is fixed. And from what I understand, that's been disproved and shown, lately not to be right. And, so the idea that science being misdirected so that, individuals, the idea like Tesla, he wasn't dealing with super advanced colliders or equipment, yet he came up with...
Oh, he was brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. So, in so many years after, I mean, the equipment isn't that advanced that he was dealing with, but no one's been able to replicate the ideas.
No, his concepts were just way beyond what anybody could even comprehend.
But has it been misdirected so that you are drawn away from that? Like, my understanding is that very little advancement with the notion of gravity has happened. And so have people been kind of directed away from that?
Well, if we had listened to Tesla, they did, we weren't around then, we'd have free energy by now. And they don't want that.
No, that actually, and it kind of coincides with my, the science and the notion I have about disclosure, where I don't think people would be afraid. I think people would just be really angry.
Angry because we haven't been told, and they withheld information for at least 60 years, maybe longer.
And the technology.
Yes, that's what it comes down to. That's what they're afraid of. Rob, they're afraid of having to admit that they knew about this, that there was technology available for all kinds of things, fighting diseases, right? Yeah, remember Star Trek? Bones, the doctor, would wave that little thing over people and they'd be fine. I bet we could have had that. We could have had free energy right out of the atmosphere. Just take it right down from the universe and all these other incredible things. But nope, they have withheld it from us, and that's why you're absolutely right. That's what people would be angry about. Not just saying, sure, I believed in extraterrestrials. No, it's the suppression of what the ETs would have brought to the table, to be sure.
We're going to take a break in just a second and come back with a final hour to go of Open Lines. Fast, fast night. Lots of little side business here. Like us on Facebook. If you're on Facebook and you haven't done that yet, then you should. Follow us on Twitter. We send out all kinds of things, but we're not going to say harassment stuff on it. You don't have to worry about that. We don't get into Twitter fights at all on this program. And then email me whenever you want at george@coasttocoastam.com right here on Coast to Coast AM.